16 years ago today was my red pill moment. 16 years ago today, everything changed. And I have never been the same. I have never been in any way even remotely similar to that pre-9/11 2001 me. I don't ever experience a day in which I don't, in some respect, think back to that day, or I'm reminded of what happened that day, or read something about that day, or hear of something. But more importantly, not think about the day, but think about how the most preposterous story and myth and fiction and fable and fallacy was created and concocted, and how this country and a lot of the world believed whole cloth, believed a story that is so replete with fantasy, so infected with impossibility, so pocked and riddled with physical impossibility. Physical, as in the world, in the rules, in the principles, in the laws of physics, structural engineering, metallurgy, chemistry, evidence, common sense, witness consistency, name it. The 9/11 official story is an absolute testament to something that, when it hits you, if you ever get to that point, if you live long enough, if you do the most cursory, and I mean, I'm not talking anything deep, but the most cursory of investigation, you will be horrified at the evidence that is there that does not make any sense. The evidence that doesn't exist. The evidence that's never questioned. The fact, and the facts that have been adopted whole cloth by everyone. And you're further confounded by knowing of millions of people around the world who have had 9/11 conventions, more of them than not in this country. But if who have had conventions, convocations, meetings, summits, panels, you name it. Websites, books, interviews, YouTube stories. Some of them, a lot of them, not all of them, filled with the occasional lunatic as well. Oh, we can't get rid of the lunatics. We can't get rid of those people. You want to talk about lunatics? Go to religion. You want to talk about that? Go to religion, go to nutrition, go to politics. You want lunatics? You want people talking about stuff that will make your hair curl in terms of the insanity that people spout? We just had my native state of Florida missed, in many respects, missed for reasons that no one can explain. And I know people who are pointing to God and all types of mystical, weird, I don't know. That's okay. You can talk to a hairdryer and call it prayer. That's okay. That's okay. You can make up diets every day, paleo, carb, this, that have no basis in fact, science, medicine, no problem. You can believe in astrology. You can tell them your feces rising, no problem. You can talk to your dog. You can tattoo your neck, call it beauty. Nobody will look at you. You dare question 9/11 and you're a lunatic, or you are, as we say now, this word that is in our lexicon, our new worldview, our argo, argot, depending upon where you're from, the conspiracy theorist. The tinfoil hat, black helicopter, lunatic conspiracy theorist. A term and a means of a weaponization of an idea that occurred post-Warren Commission in a memorandum by the CIA. Right there, black and white, Freedom of Information Act, nobody's even touching it. Nobody researches anything. Humans, let me focus, Americans, because I know this, work on feelings of feeling. Do you believe in religion? You know, I'm kind of spiritual. Have you studied this? Not really. Do you practice your faith? No. Do you know the antecedents of Christianity or polytheism? No. But I'm a kind of spiritual. I feel kind of, you know, World War II. What role did the Russians play in beating, devouring Hitler? Huh? The Russians. Russians. No. Russians are, no. It's us. It's Saving Private Ryan. I saw the movie. D-Day. Our history is bumper sticker. It's playbook. It's echo chamber. It's phantasmagoria. It's make-believe. We know nothing. There are us, there are many of us, who have been screaming that there is geoengineering, you can call it chemtrails, you can aerosolized nanoparticulates. It is in the news and has been so much that it's not even funny. And there's this paradox. Same thing with 9/11. The more that exists, the more people look the other way. Let me give you an example of a couple of things. And I don't want to go through the 9/11 argument because everybody's got their own favorite moment. That's what I call it, the. Okay. And the first one is, one of the best ones is, of course, you might say, Building 7. Now, most people have no idea what you're talking about because they know the North Tower, South Tower, Shanksville, Flight 93, you know, let's roll, you know, that story, and the Pentagon. That's kind of what they know. Building 7. Building 7 is the most fantastic story there is. Well, almost. I got one more. Building 7. And what's funny is they always say, never forget. Never forget. Never forget. Never forget. There's an image. I want you to find this. It's never forget or whatever. It's New York. It's the skyline of downtown. And there are three beams of light. Not two, three. Put them on your Facebook. Put them on your Twitter. See if anybody notices. And that refers to Building 7. That at 5:20 p.m., it fell. Hit by nothing. Collapsed at free fall levels, on its own footprint, hit by nothing. Not the magical, mysterious jet fuel, a.k.a. kerosene. Was not hit by a plane. It pancaked at free fall. When you tell people, do you know what that means, free fall? No. You mean it fell free? No. It fell as though there was no resistance. Okay. Do you know what that means? No. That means it fell as though anything that would normally slow it down, like floors, structure, building posts, or, you know, pillars, bolts, cables, whatever it is, and I'm no physicist, but Richard Gage is, and architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, 2,400 architects, they've signed off on this. The number keeps growing to the point, I think everybody in the free world and elsewhere has signed on to this, but that means it fell without anything getting in the way, as though things were just like pushed out of the way to make it splat, kind of like a controlled demolition. And it was right there in front of you. There's the famous, we know this, those of us who are, oh yes, we're called truthers. Truthers. Imagine that. Using as a pejorative, referring snottily to us who want to know the truth, referring to us as truthers. Crazy. And the gatekeepers of the world, the Bill Maher's, and the Noam Chomsky's, they are as, I don't even know who's worse. The burglar, or the person who turned off the burglar alarm to allow the burglar in. I don't know. I'm going to think about that one. But there it is. This Building 7. More symposia, more studies, more research on this. But that's not the best one. No. Number two, we'll get to number one in a moment, has to be the Pentagon story. Pentagon, the most photographed, heavily surveilled piece of property, maybe on the face of the earth. Cameras everywhere. Everywhere. People have told me, at or about the time of 9/11, if you're in the Pentagon parking lot and you look like you're looking for your car or you're kind of hanging around a little too long, anything, all of a sudden somebody will pull up, can I help you? It's like, wow, how did you know that? We're watching you. This is the Pentagon. Where do you think you are? Disney World? This is the Pentagon. Hello. We've got cameras everywhere, except the day a plane flew 6 feet off the ground into it. No photos, no videos. In fact, on that day, right after this event, the video evidence that might have been recorded from the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, a Sheridan, a Citgo, a variety of attendant nearby locations or sites. They had all their video evidence. Can we have that, please? I said, of course. Anything we can do to help. Never saw that again. It's like the Zapruder film. You know the Zapruder film that was given back? That's not what they gave the FBI. David, whenever the FBI gives you something back, you can guarantee, or whoever it is, FBI, CIA, Warren Commission, you can guarantee it ain't the same thing. But anyway, so, not one picture. Nothing. And Judicial Watch, I think, under FOIA, demanded the videotapes, and they have what appears to be, in like 3 or 4 frames, the Loch Ness Monster. I don't know what this thing is. Some say it's consistent with a missile. Some say not. I don't know. But that ain't a plane. And this plane, my God. This pilot, Honey Honjour. How do we know these people's names? What do they get on the microphone? Say, attention, please. This is your pilot. For posterity's sake, this fellow, these people who couldn't even rent single prop planes a month before, nobody cares. Remember Colleen Rowley, and nobody listens to her. He took this plane, hijacked him, did a 330 degree arc, dropped 7,000 feet, 6 feet off the ground, into a hole, left about 10, 12 foot diameter, and then into the building, no plane. Oh, they threw a piece of something. I don't know what it was, like a can or, I don't know, some exterior or something. Oh, look, there's a piece of the building. Ground is unaffected. The poles are not. I mean, it is so preposterous. And no plane. Later on, when the buildings collapsed after the fire, then that's the photo you see. Oh, that's a pretty big moon. Well, that's not, no, look at the, and it went through the five rings and punctured with this little exit hole, this little blackened little exterior punch. Really? Where's the plane? Now, what happens is, and I want you to remember this. What happens is people will sometimes ask you, well, where are the people? Where's the plane? Where's Barbara Olson? Where's Ted Olson's wife? What, is she in on this too? Where are all the people? The people who got up there, the people who left, people who said goodbye, waved goodbye to their families. Where were they? Where are they? Where are they now? Where's the plane? Where's your luggage? Here's what you're supposed to say. And remember what I'm telling you this. Remember, you say, it's not my story. I don't know. You tell me where the people are, who these people are, where they were going. Give me their names. And you told me this story. I have no affirmative duty to disprove anything you're telling me. I have no duty whatsoever to disprove that. You tell me that. You don't have to tell me anything. All right, but the best one, the best. This is the best. Drum roll, please, maestro. Shanksville, Flight 93, Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I was on the air one time. I was on the air at one particular point. I think it was, I forget the particular circumstance. But when they were talking about Flight 93, and I'm looking at Google Images, Google Pictures, Google whatever the hell it was. And this is, of course, remember this is before, you know, before social media. And I'm looking, and it was at some particular point. I don't know when, but I looked at this. And I'm looking for Flight 93. Oh, Flight 93. I didn't know the name of it. Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Let's roll. Todd Beam, remember that? The crowd. They take over. They fought valiantly. They overpowered the terrorists who overpowered the crew. Anyway, they're in there. And terrible story. I'm looking at this picture. And I said, this can't be it. I remember I was on the air. I forgot what I said, well, this can't be. He goes, no, that's it. He goes, no, this can't be it. Because I never saw the picture. And I said, where's the plane? And I forget who I was talking to. He said, what? I said, where's the plane? The plane. Where's the plane? And I'll never forget this. As clear as it was an hour ago, whoever I was talking to said, what are you getting at? I said, what do you mean? What are you getting at? What am I getting at? I'm saying, where's the plane? Where's this plane? I don't understand. There's supposed to be a plane there. You know, I've seen plane wrecks. I'm not an NTSB expert, but I've seen planes. 6-ton titanium engines, wheels, wings, people, luggage carts, magazines, luggage, debris, stabilizers, wings, rudders, ailerons, forward. I mean, all, you know, the plane. Yeah, I know it's made of aluminum. Yeah, I understand. But there's like a little dimpled curvature, a little pocked divot in the area. There's nothing there. Some charred area. It reminds us, those of us who are from West Tampa, we know Noche Buena, you know, where they barbecue the pig, whatever, on New Year's Eve. And anyway, look, there's an old fire truck there, and there's a, where's the plane? And then I'm reading different stories, different accounts. I say, hey, did anybody see this? There's a place called New Baltimore, and another place is called Indian Lake. I don't know if it's 8 miles, 2 miles, whatever, but they're different. I said, but there's a debris field there. There's a debris field. They're saying this is from the plane. This is what you're looking for. They found Hemispheres magazine, Ionosphere, whatever the you know, those terrible magazines in flight. You read this horrible. Anyway, but they say that's where it is. And I heard somebody say, well, you know, it was kind of windy that day. I said, 8 miles? What are you talking about? And then I realized what happens. When people are presented with something and they're unable to make the facts comport with what you're saying, they make stuff up. Because they will fight you. They don't want to learn the truth. They don't ever hug you and kiss you and say, thank you for opening my eyes, for giving me my red pill. Thank you for at least allowing me the opportunity to investigate this. Thank you for permitting me this rare moment to evaluate this story, which is very soon looking myth-like. Thank you. Thank you. No. You're a liberal, or you're a conservative, or you're a Trump. I don't know what you are. You're just crazy. You're crazy. And that was the best one. Even better. 5 years after the fact, it was on Katie Couric. She was on CBS at the time. And I believe it was Steve Hartman, I think it was. And he was out there in Shanksville. And he says, I think we're talking to someone. His name was King, if I recall correctly. I'm remembering. And this was the individual who was the captain or the chief of the volunteer fire department at or near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, on that terrible day. Chief, what did you see when I was there? When you were there, rather? And he says, nothing. What? There was nothing here. No plane, no people, no evidence, no nothing. And I thought, go, Steve, go. Say something. Now's the time. Break this open. Ask. Ask the obvious. Ask, what do you mean there's nothing? What do you mean you saw nothing? What do you mean there's no evidence of a plane at a plane crash? Go ahead, Steve. It's okay. Do your thing. Think Murrow. Think journalism. Think the truth. Be an American. Say it, Steve. Say it. Just say it. And he turned to the camera, ostensibly talking to Katie, and saying, well, and there's no one here today. And there's nothing here today. Or something like that. Wait, there was nothing there then, and there's nothing here now. What does that mean? Went back to Katie Couric, and I said, Katie, now's the time. Do it, Katie. Do it. Say something. For America. For posterity. For the truth. Nothing. How can you do that? If I'm a homicide investigator, and I go to some place, and I say, where's the body? There's no body. Ah, okay. How do we know there's a murder? Well, they say it's a murder. It looks like a murder, kind of. Doesn't it look kind of messed up here? Like, this is what murder scenes look like? Yeah, except there's no body. Yeah, well, okay, well, we'll put down murder then. Nobody thinks like this. Now, one of the offshoots, and we must address this. We must address this. This is critical. One of the offshoots of this has been a group of people who have come out of the woodwork. You see, in the terms of, think about the ambit or the line of credulity, incredulity, I don't know. You have the 100% believer. I believe in the official story. God bless America. Never forget. I don't ask any questions. Whatever. Jet fuel, which is, we'll get into, if you don't know why that story is preposterous, I can't help you. Jet fuel, 19 hijackers. Yeah, they hate our freedom. Got it. I'm on board. I'm solid. Keep me there. I'm there. I'm on. I'm on board. Thank me. That's one extreme. On the other extreme, you have the, I don't believe, but they kind of fill in the blank. And here's the group I want to talk to you about. Because with this, it has produced, you know, that red pill sometimes has a negative effect, a side effect. Sometimes the red pill will, in some people, inspire the inability to go too far in trying to connect suspicion with fact. To wit, I'm a former prosecutor. If I'm investigating an arson and I find out that the owner of the property insured this property excessively for $1 million prior to the fire, that means that I am suspicious. He certainly has a motivation to torch this. Let's look at him. What these people will do is they will say, he did it. It's obvious. He did it. He did it. He's involved. He did it. He torched it. He paid somebody to do it. He's guilty. Charge him. Arrest him. He's guilty. Obviously, he did it. Come on. It's an inside job. He did it. It's obvious. And I'd say, whoa, wait. You're right. I wouldn't be surprised. You're correct about that. But we need a little deeper proof. No, no, no. He did it. That's it. Now, there are people who will say to you, you have one school of people, for example, and there are many. And for the record, who was responsible for this? Who was responsible? So, who was responsible for having this coincidentally occur on the day when there was 46 hijacking drills and war games going on? That's, wow. Who was responsible? Did somebody detonate these buildings? Did they fire a missile into the Pentagon? Who did what? I'll tell you this much. I don't know. It's not my story. But what I can tell you is that the official story is nonsense. Absolute caca de toro. Bovine ingesta. 100% organic caca. Okay? That, I promise you. But with that, because we need a standing committee, a permanent committee to determine who did what, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I don't know. Now, there are people you'll meet. Some will focus on the dancing Israelis, the fact that there were four Israelis that were caught and arrested, and they said, hey, listen, we're not the enemy. We've got Palestinians. So many variations of the story. Didn't say it didn't happen. I mean, no, whatever. They were kept for 10 weeks, and then off they went to Israel, and they appeared on some show, and they were whatever, and they're heroes. Now, why we don't sit, maybe we did, sit down with the officials from Israel and say, who are these people? What's this all about? Until we do that, I'm thinking, put that in our suspicion file, our suspect file. We'll get to that one. I need more than people were dancing up and down. Have you been to New York? I got people dancing for stuff you can't even believe, because most of them are crazy. But they say, no. That's Israel. Israel's behind it. Israel, they are behind everything because four Israelis were dancing or appeared to be recording this or seem to know about this. Absolute suspicion? You can't believe it. Proof? No. Imagine going to court with that. And the jury says, and? Well, they were Larry Silverstein, a Jew. He did it. He bought it for $100 million, assured it for $5 million, made his money. He did it. Israel, Michael Chertoff, dual citizenship. Israel. You got that one. Okay, that's one example. Whoa, wait a minute. You've got the Pentagon too? Wait a minute. So you have people who, very frankly, sometimes are overexcited, not well-trained in critical thinking, not to mention the rules of evidence. Okay, you get that. Then we have these. Dick Cheney, he's evil. He's a psychopath. He's crazy. I hate Dick Cheney. Before Trump hate, there was Cheney hate. But why did you say it? He knew it. The Mineta, Norman Mineta. He came in. The stand down order. He was responsible. You know what? Good. Let's put that in the suspect pile too. Does this mean he did it? No. There's no evidence of it. ISI. They wired the money to Muhammad Ali. It's Pakistan. They did it. Okay, fine. Marvin Bush was in charge of the security department, agency that owned the World Trade Center. He did it. No, stop. That's not, you keep saying they did it just because you find a piece of fact or a factual scenario or connection that warrants more. Okay, those people, forgive me, they're there. I would much rather talk somebody down than talk somebody up. And the majority of Americans are talking somebody up. 16 years ago today, my world changed. My life changed. It was my red pill moment. I don't believe anything Washington, my government tells me, the media, popular culture, I never really believed anyway. Number one. Number two, it was my red pill moment. It was my awakening. It reminds me of what Tolstoy said, and I've been saying this, whatever, history would be a wonderful thing if only it were true. And Napoleon said, history is a myth that men agree to believe. And that's what we've done. We've created this. The liberty balance. When the legend becomes fact, print the legend. When this becomes emblazoned, embedded, and encrusted in our popular history, it becomes indelible. It's sealed. This is a horrible day. A horrible day. Which Florida, my native Florida, my home state, I guess, and my family are celebrating, and they should. This will be mentioned, but it will be forgotten by some. But there are many of us, myself included, who don't go by, who don't allow a day to go by without remembering something about this and how truly evil is. The question is to find out who these evil people actually are and get them. Please like the video. Please comment. Put your thoughts and comments. What is this?
Very much logic in that particular set of facts or alleged facts, because people don't use logic. They surely don't. I have a similar situation, only this one is hotter than the Twin Towers. And I've been asking it for 20 years. The 6 million. Everybody's got it all figured out. Think they know exactly how it goes. But I started from the other end of figuring out how many hours it takes to cremate a body in an oven. In World War II, it was 7 hours at least. And then every so often you've got to re-core the furnaces. That takes time. Well, anyhow, I've figured that all out. I've got the figures someplace. But it don't match 6 million people. Now you're going to say, well, maybe a third of those Jews didn't die that way. Maybe they died in pit killings. That's possible. Or maybe just round up and shot like that. And that's possible. Of course they did. They were killing them behind the Russian lines. The Bolsheviks were killing a lot of Jews. So we know that that's possible. But where did all the hundreds and thousands of tons of ash and bones go from these millions of Jews, or at least a hell of a lot of Jews? That would have constituted giant mounds of ashes and bones that would be small mountains. But I've never seen pictures of those ashes or bones. And no one ever has come back to me and said, well, this is what happened, and this is why you're wrong. They got all these other reasons, like the Institute for Hysterical Review, they got all these reasons to doubt the story, but none are so blatant as what I'm unfolding to you. Now, I would hope that before I kick the bucket, some people who are smarter than I am come back with the answer to my question, which has not been answered at all by anybody. It's sort of like this Twin Tower situation, like Building 7, you know, what happened? Or the one out there where the plane disappeared in Pennsylvania. Well, I'm saying, where did all the ashes and bones go from the people that were cremated by the millions in these concentration camps? And how could they have possibly had the amount of time that it would take to have done that? Just with simple mathematics. It does not wash. Anyhow, that's it for today. This is going to be our show for today. And I think we've all covered a lot of ground here on Wotan's Day. I'll be back tomorrow on Thor's Day.